Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Are you ready?
That's some Cam Jansen music for you. We are live here at Legends Golf Course. Play spectacular. Eureka, Missouri, one of the nicest courses in the state,
yes,
I can assure you. Really, really good stuff here. This is some head-banging music for the Cam Jansen to get all fired up for the game tonight. We'll go into that momentarily. But first, I got to tell you that we're going to be broadcasting live from Rosalita's on Washington Ave. All day on Friday, May 3rd. Starting with TMA and broadcasting live until 6 p.m., Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year. But on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot, Cam.
Yes,
with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi Mendez STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferrara. So, you can ride the mechanical bull if you want to, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex.
A mechanical bull?
That's what it says on the read, buddy. Tex-Mex margaritas and Cinco de Mayo done right, and it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Ave. So we will be down there. Make sure you guys come check that out with us. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they got great food there and everything, and it'll be a cool party if you want to go.
Friday, May 3rd.
Yeah.
Friday, May 3rd. So, all right, boys, let's dig into it. We have 3 minutes.
We're on the clock.
3 minutes before we dive into.
Oh, I forgot to do something. NFL draft.
Do it.
Rock, for tomorrow, I want you to find audio of an old-timey MC comedian, a guy named Georgie Jessel.
Georgie Jessel, Rock.
What has happened to Goodell's speech patterns? He's turned into some weird old guy. He seems like. Well, I just referred it there. I have 30 seconds for you.
He does a chest bump usually before it knocks the wind out of him. You never know what's going on up on stage there. Plus, they were in Nashville. By the way, we haven't talked about this. In Nashville this weekend, it was unbelievable. They had a total of 600,000 people attend the draft.
Bachelorette parties were going crazy because they couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it was nuts. There was 150,000 people in the streets on day one, standing in the streets.
I know the opening scene of that was really spectacular.
It was unbelievable.
Made the league look fantastic. What would have happened if the Blues would have had to play there?
It would have been a big party.
They wouldn't have been able to do – they would have had to move around that. There's just no way it could have
happened. But even so, it would have just been more madness.
It would have been chaos. They would have had to, so we would have had to do a – you know, some of these teams are doing a two-day gap, like Washington Capitals did a two-day – which sucks. Gets you off – you want to go every other day. And sometimes – but that's exactly what
they might have done
happen.
That, yeah.
It just sort of prolonged the series.
A couple quick numbers here before we move on. Record numbers here. The NFL said Monday 600,000 people attended the draft over the 3 days, easily eclipsing the 250,000 who came to Philadelphia 2 years ago. The record was 250,000, and they had 600,000.
Wow.
It was
insane.
Unbelievable. They also
fun town, baby.
Yeah.
They also drew record numbers. Yeah, that's right. All the Preds had front row seats to watch it all because they were out.
Yes, they were.
Also had some record numbers here over television. Nielsen reported that the draft on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network averaged 6.1 million viewers at any given time over the 3 days.
Wow.
It's the first time they've ever televised the entire draft. So day three is not normally televised all the way through. Average 5.5 million viewers last year. I mean, it was an unbelievable
Before we run out of time, quick teaser. You know, I was off the NFL. I may, TJ, because of Drew going to Denver.
Go Broncos.
I may.
Go Broncos.
I may watch some Denver games.
That's
okay,
right,
is that
baby.
Fair?
I'll support
so
him.
If we talk football, we'll be talking Denver.
All right, quickly
I
here, boys.
That kid
we got 30 seconds, okay? Connor McGovern's out there, too, another Missouri guy.
Oh, that's
guy.
Right. He's a, center, right?
I think. Well, he played center last year. I'm not sure. He may be playing guard this year.
Okay.
All right, 25 seconds. Tonight, prediction.
Tonight, St. Louis Blues. Win in overtime, 3-2.
Cam Jansen.
4-1 Blues.
Wow.
I'm not messing around. Craig Ruby's not messing around.
4-2 with an empty netter. I like what you're saying, but I think it happens in regulation. 4-2 empty netter. Matt Rocchio, you got 2 seconds. 3-2 Blues. There you go. Thanks for hanging out with us. Chris Kerber on with Frank Cusmano today, previewing tonight's game against the Dallas Stars.
Woo! Yes, we're also excited that Chris Kerber is going to join us now from Dallas, Texas, site of Game 3, Blues and Stars. Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
Doing awesome today, Frank. How are you doing?
Very good. Boy, the excitement level, the anticipation for this game in St. Louis is just amazing. You're going to have a lot of listeners tonight in the Mighty Mox. How about you and your excitement level right now? I know, you know, there's still 11 more victories before there's a parade, but you have got to be jacked up to be doing these games.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's kind of fun. I took an approach even way back in January, Frank, where it was, okay, I don't know what to expect on a given night. And I truly am still in that mode. And, you know, as much as we can break down what we think is going to happen, and I think we've been pretty good at that, the reality is I still don't know just what to overall expect. And that's, it kind of makes it fun when you really do take it the old cliche, one game at a time.
So the Stars made a conscious effort to beat up Vladimir Tarasenko as much as possible, particularly Jamie Benn. What do the Blues do to counter that?
Well, honestly, I don't think you do anything, Frank. I just don't think you let him get to you. You know, he's grabbing somebody at the end of every whistle. He had, I think it was Alexander Steen or Braden Schenn, I can't remember which, in a headlock, you know, after one of the whistles and wasn't put in the penalty box for it. You know, I think you'd like to, and I'm watching, I'm not just talking Blue Stars. I'm watching all these playoffs, and at some point in time, you'd like to just, once the whistle blows, players get ready to drop the puck again. The extracurriculars after the whistle nowadays, it's false and it's a joke because no one's going to drop the gloves. No one's going to fight. You just push and shove. And I think it's useless right now. So, but again, just don't poke the bear. Let him try to do it, but just ignore him as best you can. And I think that's an effective way of getting around that.
Besides Colton Parayko, who jumped out at you on Saturday? Who's the best player on the ice not named Parayko?
Jordan Binnington. I mean, once again, it was the goaltender that really got the job done. I think if there's a concern in this series at this point in time, it's the 2/3 period, where I think the Blues have allowed something like 35 goals or 35 shots on goal in those two periods, and that doesn't count the numbers that were blocked or missed. So they're giving up a ton of shot attempts in the third period and relying on Jordan a little too much there. So that to me is an aspect that'll have to change here in Game 3.
There was a couple of shots. I know you're busy on the radio broadcast, but there were a couple of shots on TV where Craig Berube really was laying out Mr. Dunn. It was actually kind of good to see. Not that we want to see a player get yelled at, but it's just the way he holds everybody accountable. It was kind of cool to watch.
You know what? He told a player earlier this year, a player comes back to the bench and was griping about the refs, and the guy was holding my arm, and Berube just walked over and said, "Then rip your blanket arm off, but get free and just play. Quit worrying about the refs." You know, and that's the way is. One of the Canadian broadcasters in the first series asked him about matchups. And you know, there's obviously some matchups that matter. But as he said, he goes, "But it's hockey. Sometimes you can't control it. The puck may get iced. They get a different matchup." He goes, "You know what you have to do is you play against the guys you're out there against and you do your blanking job." And, I mean, that's just the way he is, and I absolutely love the directness of it.
Okay, so in the beginning of the Winnipeg series, there was some concern about the Blues' power play. Saturday, they were 0 for 5. What kind of almost exacerbates the situation is not only the Blues have had some issues with it, but we have a Dallas team that's been virtually perfect in killing off penalties in the postseason. I believe it's 21 out of 22. I know the Blues could change this thing in the first 10 minutes of the game with a great power play goal, but how do you see that whole topic, which has become topic number one now?
Well, because the power play could have made a big difference in that last game. And so special teams has to definitely play a role in things. However, you know, in the first series, you were going up against the Winnipeg Jets penalty kill that was 79%. This Dallas Stars penalty kill over 82 games was top five. They were fifth in the National Hockey League. So it's just that much better of a penalty kill. So the Blues are going to have to outwork it. And what really happened in that last game, and of course this is from the vantage point of the radio booth, where you know we didn't get a chance to necessarily see every single replay in there, but just saw too much forcing of the puck. You know, too much forced plays. I am such an anti drop pass fan. Most teams in the league seem to do it, where you drop the puck back. But the Blues are so robotic with it that even when the Dallas Stars were giving them a lane to skate in with the puck, they turn around to try and drop it back as part of what they're breaking into the zone is, and then the Stars would jam them. David Perron turned it over two or three times. You saw force plays. The Blues try a seam pass across the ice, the kind of pass that we saw made to Patrick Laine a couple times per goal, the kind of passes you see made to Ovechkin.
But the problem that you have there is you've got Laine that's a right-handed shot. You've got Ovechkin that's a right-handed shot. The Blues don't put a right-handed shot over there. So, one, they have a hard time getting that puck through. And then, two, you know, when they do get it through, no one can one-time it because you don't have a right-handed shot there. And so when you talk about improvements even towards next year, that's something that I think Doug Armstrong would probably like to go out and find. And then lastly, because of the Dallas Stars penalty killing has been so good, at times you've had Pat Maroon up near the blue line. He's got to be down in front of the net. Sometimes I think Vladimir Tarasenko stick handles the puck too much. I don't think that's his forte on that. So, I mean, there are some basic things they can do, but it just comes down to moving the puck quicker, making quicker decisions, and then getting the shots through to Ben Bishop.
If you were forced to bet on this question, which way would you go? This series will go at least six games.
I'd say absolutely.
Yeah, with the way the league is and with the way these teams are now, I just can't picture this being a short series.
No, but it's going to be a close one, too. And when it's a close one, that means, you know, bounces can turn the game on a dime here. And we haven't seen much from Sagan. We haven't seen much from Radulov. That top line was called out by Jimmy Montgomery yesterday and saying that they just need to be better, and they haven't brought enough. And so you got to expect on home ice they're going to be flying around out there tonight. So, but, again, you know, the Blues, I don't put a whole lot of stock in the fact that they're 3-0 in the playoffs so far. But I do put a lot of stock in the fact that the Blues have played extremely well on the road since January. I like the big picture aspect of that where, you know, that seems to go their way. And what will be real intriguing is what are the matchups that Jimmy Montgomery wants to try and get? And does that free up Ryan O'Reilly a little bit? You know, he's taken over 60 faceoffs here in the first two games, basically 50% of the draws. And he's right about 50% in terms of success. So, you know, I think we're coming off of a game where it might have been one of his worst games on the draw. And maybe as a Blue, just the way they were able to control that the faceoff dot. So all those things play into what we could see tonight.
I've gotten some texts wondering about game times. We know what's happening this week: 7 o'clock tonight, 8:30 Wednesday, 8:30 Friday in St. Louis. If there is a game six, what do you think in Dallas? Would that be a day game on NBC or a night game on NBC Sports?
It doesn't help you out here much. I'd say obviously one of those two. You know, the reason they're a 7 o'clock game tonight is they're the only game playing tonight. And then of course the Central Time Zone gets roasted, and you know because of the broadcast window, and which sometimes doesn't even seem to be enough. So they won't know, and they won't release that yet because they're going to wait and see how these other series goes. And Frank, I haven't looked at the dates of the other series to see what else could conflict on Sunday if another series gets that deep, but we'll have to, we'll just wait and see. But, you know, if this series does go to a game six, you know, and at that point in time, you know, you're talking about one team with an opportunity to go ahead and clinch a series, it would be a heck of a game for NBC to put on the afternoon, and I would probably handicap it more that way.
All right, speaking of handicapping, you've been absolutely Kreskin-esque with your predictions. pick to click, you picked Jaden Schwartz, and then you picked Robbie freaking Fabry out of nowhere. Now, give us your pick to click.
We got Parayko in the last one, didn't we?
You did have Parayko, so you are 3-for-3.
The defense, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, whatever you say, I'm calling Vegas right away. Go ahead.
You know what? This one to me, this game to me, because the Dallas is going to be able to get the matchups they want, Frank, this one to me comes down to the Thomas Bozak Maroon line. They've been kind of quiet. Robert Thomas has been off the score sheet a little bit. So I'm looking at that line for success tonight.
All right. Good stuff. Chris, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Frank, have a great day.
All right, Chris Kerber brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody and is always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.